Trigger warning, this episode contains sexual assault and extreme violence. If this is triggering for you, I completely understand, and we can chat next episode. Hey, spooky mamas, welcome back. Today we're discussing a case I had never heard of. I stumbled onto it and went down this rabbit hole, and I was just blown away. Now, you may know this if you're familiar with the case as the Ripper Rapists, but I want to talk about the survivor of this story because, damn, this woman is a miracle and she deserves all that praise. And I can tell you right now up front, I am not doing this woman any justice. Let's get into it. On December 18th, 1994, a veterinarian student by the name of T.N. Ellard's on holiday in Port Elizabeth, South Africa. So he is driving at night down this road and sees this woman laying in the middle of the road. He doesn't know what's going on. He stops his car to get out and check on her, and he stumbles upon a gruesome scene. This woman's lying in the road covered in blood, naked. He was able to call for paramedics, and this angel of a man kept her awake and conscious until they arrived. Now, this woman is Alison Botha. She was born September 22nd, 1967, in Port Elizabeth, South Africa. She graduated high school in 1985, and by the time we are finding her in 1994, she is a 27-year-old insurance broker, single, and just living her life. She's got a good career, and she is just doing the damn thing. So on the night of December 18th, she arrives at her apartment after spending the entire day with her girlfriends. When she arrived at her apartment, she noticed the parking spot she usually parks in is taken. So she's going around the parking lot, finding for another spot, and the one she finds is at the other end of the parking lot by a tree, and there's not much light. She didn't think much of about it, so she placed her car in park and was reaching over to get some clothes that was in the other seat of her car. While reaching over for the clothes, her door swung open and a man held her at knife point. He told her to move over or he was going to kill her. She did exactly as she was told. She moved over to the passenger seat and he got in the driver's seat and they drove off. The man told her his name was Clinton and he just needed to use her car for an hour. He said he wouldn't hurt her, but he was needing to get some money that was owed to him. Not long after they were driving, they stopped to pick another man up, and then they drove to a secluded area outside of the town. Once the car parked, both men told Allison they were going to rape her, and they asked her was she going to fight them. Allison was afraid, but she was trying to survive, so she said no, she wouldn't fight. She thought if she could just get the rape over with, it would be over and done. She could just get it over with. What Allison didn't know is they actually had planned to kill her. And side note, no woman should have to sit there, or no human for that matter, should have to sit there and think to themselves, if I can just get this rape over, if I can just get this rape over. No human should have to have that thought enter their head. After both men were done sexually assaulting her, they did try to smother her. At this time, Allison had lost consciousness and passed out, but she was still alive. They then drug her out of the car where she was stabbed multiple times to the abdomen. She was stabbed so severely. The two men would have more than likely left her there if it wasn't for them noticing her leg was twitching and they seen she was still alive. This is when they knew they could not leave her here so she could identify them. They started to stab her in the abdomen multiple times, and they stabbed her and slashed her neck multiple times. Now, Allison did write a book, and this is an excerpt out of her book. Allison states, "I was outside of the car and on the sand now on broken glass. All I could see was an arm moving above my face. Left and right, left and right. His movements were making a sound, a wet sound. It was the sound of my flesh being slashed open. He was cutting my throat with the knife again and again and again. It felt unreal, but it wasn't. I felt no pain, but it was not a dream. This was happening. The man was slashing my throat." After this, both of her assaulters thought there was no way that she could have survived the injuries that they inflicted on her. She was still alive, but she lay there pretending to be dead. The two men threw her belongings out of the car and left her there. After she heard the car drove away, she was in and out of it. She was able to write their names in the dirt, the names that she was aware of. She wrote their names in the dirt, and then under that, she wrote, "I love you, Mom." Within a few minutes of laying there, she seen headlights. She did her best to get up and walk, but she felt her head rolling backwards, and she was losing vision because this woman was almost decapitated from where they had stabbed and slashed her throat so severely. And then when she was up, she realized that her intestines were outside of her body because she had been disemboweled. She managed to make it to the road, but finally laid in the road due to her injuries, and thankfully this is where Tien found her. Allison went straight to surgery after she made it to the hospital. She was stabbed at least 30 times to the abdomen and stabbed and slashed to the neck 16 times. She was nearly decapitated and embowed, and this is after a severe rape and beating. Guys, this is unreal. Not only was Allison able to survive that gruesome attack, she remembered the whole ordeal. No matter how traumatic or horrific it was for her, she remembered. And she was able to point out her attackers to the cops from a huge school binder with all these mugshots and pictures. Her attackers at this time was 26-year-old Franz Dutuy, and this is the one that said his name was Clinton, and 19-year-old Thunes Kruger. Now, these two already had a history before the brutal attack on Allison. Franz Dutuy, earlier that same year, attacked a 19-year-old college student in her car. He made her move over at gunpoint, drove her to a secluded area where he raped her in her car. So already, this is a pattern. After the assault, he drove her to town where he brought her lunch and a rose. After this, he made her get back in the vehicle with him, and he took her to another secluded area and raped her again. After he was done, he took her back to town and just left her there. This victim did report her assault the next week. Due to this report, he was arrested in March of 1994, but was released on bail. December 4th is when this is starting. December 4th of 1994, Franz Dutuy and his friend Thunes Kruger held a 21-year-old woman by gunpoint who was 3 months pregnant at the time. They made this pregnant woman walk to a secluded area where they both raped her. They threatened to kill her, but for whatever reason, they did not. She reported the assault the same day, and they were both arrested. Both of the men were released on their own recognizance and were ordered to appear in court on January 5th of 1995. Again, I say, they were arrested and released within a day. Why they were released on their own recognizance, I have no idea. This arrest and attack and release was 2 weeks before Allison's. Officers arrested both of the men on December 19th, 1994. The men were arrested on the charges of rape and attempted murder. They were very surprised as they were sure that they had killed Allison. Both men confessed to the attack of Allison and their other victims. It was said by the arresting officers that neither man had any remorse, and Franz Dutuy even admitted that they both planned to find another victim the very next day to rape and throw her over a bridge. Now, this whole ordeal was insane. During the trial, Franz actually claimed he was possessed by demons, and because he was into Satanism, he stated the demons were the one that wanted to commit these horrific acts. Nevertheless, both men pled guilty. They were found guilty in August of 1995 for 2 counts of abduction, 2 counts of indecent assault, 2 counts of rape, 1 count of attempted murder, and 1 count of robbery. Franz was given 3 life sentences, and Kruger was given 1 life sentence plus 25 years. The judge even put a note in each of their files for them to spend the rest of their life in prison. He did not want these men getting out. Unfortunately, in 2012, a new legislation was passed in South Africa. It states that any prisoner who received a life sentence before 2004 could apply for parole, but not only after serving at least 13 years and 4 months of their sentence. Friends Dutoit and Kruger have been up for parole in 2015. And then, oddly enough, when they first went up for parole, Allison was never even contacted. But in 2015, when Franz was up for parole, it was found out that somehow he had access to a phone and he was in a relationship with an American woman named Sabrina that he had met online. Sabrina even flew to South Africa, went to the prison to see him. But by the time this information was public, the relationship had ended. Sabrina stated that Franz asked her for $10,000 to help with his parole process, and this is what wanted her to take a beat. She said she was afraid for her life because he was involved in criminal activity behind prison. The only thing I'm going to say to this is, wow, the $10,000 is what did it for you, not the multiple rapes, brutal attack and assault and attempted murder of a woman. But okay, moving on. Now, Allison petitioned. There was a petition going around, and she spoke to the jury. She has fought to keep them in prison, and from everything I can find, they were denied at that time, and they are still in prison as of today. Every article I have found on them since then has not been up to date, and it has not been stated that either man has been paroled. And I have watched videos of her since the 2015 parole hearing, and she was talking about still fighting to keep them in. So I'm assuming they are still there, and I hope they both rot there. Now, Allison still to this day keeps up with Tien, which I think is amazing. And now Allison, for her, after this whole ordeal, she has went through it over the years, as we could all imagine. She suffered with depression, and her nor her doctors knew she would ever be able to have children because of all of the severe injuries she had. But life gave her two sons, which I think is amazing. She is now a motivational speaker. She has traveled to over 35 countries to share her story. She has written a book called I Have Life, and she even had a movie made about her in 2016. The movie is named Allison, and she was involved in that as well. I'm going to put some links in the show notes for y'all if you want to buy her book, watch her movie. I will have that in the show notes. And I'm also going to put a link of a video I found on YouTube. It is from, I think, 2016 on a TV show in South Africa, but she's talking and it is absolutely amazing. This miracle of a woman is so strong, and her outlook on life is just profound and beyond anything I could comprehend. Walking away from such a traumatic night decades ago. I had never heard of this story, but it is just amazing to hear the outcome as it is today. If you know anything about Allison or want to discuss it, please follow me on Instagram at Spooky Mama Podcast and on Twitter at Spooky Mama Podcast. Share, tell your friends, and rate me on Apple. I would greatly appreciate it. I hope you all have an awesome week. Stay spooky, babies.